So, Berto, I thought I would have you on the podcast and you and I could talk about my top 100 list of movies of all time. Patron Noelle often writes us about her excellent movie watching practices.
Yeah.
she has, I think, excellent taste in movies. And,
oh, really?
And I think she might have asked, or maybe it was Lyndon that asked for... I think someone was like, you've talked about your favorite movie, Kirk. What's your top 10? Oh, you're coughing, Berto. Are you okay? Do you need what do you give someone coughing? A second?
Oh, it's nothing. I'm fine.
A glass of water?
I just have a
rib that's gone.
Rib missing.
This is the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm a therapist and a professor.
My name is Humberto Castañeda, and I review movies for a living.
No, you don't. So let's talk about my top 100 movies, and I have it in front of me, maybe in your head you can sort of develop your top group, your most favorite movies of all time.
Okay.
Okay? Okay, so let's do that. But before we do that, I want to tell everyone that today's episode is brought to you by Talkspace. They're one of our sponsors, or our only sponsor at this point. And if you go to Talkspace is a super legitimate online counseling outfit that you go to on their website, and they connect you with therapists that can help you over the internet. And you can talk to them every day, and it's relatively cheap, especially when you compare it to weekly in-person counseling. You can do it right away. You can talk to, you can communicate late at night or early in the morning or whenever and wherever you are. And if you use the promo code Kirk, K-I-R-K, you get a discount, and it also signals to them that you're one of our listeners, which will motivate them to continue being a sponsor of the podcast, which is a really big deal. When we get a sponsor like this, it really is a good fund stream for us so that we can dedicate more time to this podcast. Any thoughts on that, Bruno?
Can you imagine the global impact that this would have if more and more people started being able to affordably and easily get counseling and get in a habit from the time they're young to be able to talk about their feelings, work out things that they're going through, like all these tragedies, all these disasters. Imagine the lack of grief counseling that is available, you know?
I hadn't thought about that. Like my big thing, whenever people ask me about these mass killers, or like the guy in University of California, Berkeley, or not Berkeley, UC Santa, anyway.
Yeah,
the different killers, the guy in Sandy Hook, I speculate fairly confidently that if these individuals had relationships with people, some connection, someone who could tolerate them, you know, that they would have calmed down and stayed within the realm of non-killing, let's just say. And these people, for various reasons of abuse or personality or whatever, they descend into isolation and hostility, and they want to kill themselves. And they think, well, I might as well take some people out along the way.
Right.
And we need other human beings. And so Talkspace, maybe, or online counseling in general, or other kinds of online sorts of options, maybe that could fulfill a role and maybe reduce some of these stories from happening.
Yeah.
Of course, people would have to engage in those services.
Right.
But, you know, the more available services there are, the greater chance people are going to use them. Anyway, so Talkspace, go there and use the promo code Kirk. Even if you're just curious about it, you just want to check it out, it's pretty low cost just to see how it is. Maybe online counseling isn't for you. Maybe it is for you. You know, go to Talkspace, promo code Kirk.
I'm going to work out a deal with them, by the way.
Yeah.
Where I'll pop up every random number of calls. I'm not licensed at all, and I'll be super wacky and destructive, but it's sort of like a fun thing. Like, do you think I'll get Berto this time? Oh, Berto!
God damn it. Okay, so let's talk about my number one movie of all time.
Wait, it changed because it used to be Brazil.
Yeah, so that's number two.
Right, and then you changed it to, I know this, because it was recent. Oh, man, what was it? Appaloosa, no.
Kubrick.
Oh, okay. Oh, Clockwork.
Yeah.
Clockwork, yeah.
Clockwork Orange, number one movie of all time. I whenever I say to people that's my number one movie, they're like, man, you must be a sick mofo.
Why?
And, well, because it's, you know, it's a very sadistic, psychopathic movie. And
yeah, but...
I don't know. I just really love it. Kubrick is a master. The story, the visuals are amazing. The music is amazing.
What would they say about the fact that in my top five is American Psycho, right?
So. Yeah. Okay, so let's go back and forth. So okay. in your top movies.
My numero uno of all time, if I had to pick, God damn you, I hate you. I guess American Psycho, but I feel a little unclean picking one.
No, I respect that. And I can see why, especially through your eyes, why you would pick that. American Psycho has a lot of different elements to it when you really appreciate those elements.
But
it's got humor. It's got this wacky kind of acting job. It's got like this 80s thing.
Yeah.
It's got this secret world that he's living in.
Yeah.
It's got some shocking visuals,
right.
You know, he in some ways is he has a perspective that in one way is like abhorrent, but another way you kind of want to be like him in certain ways. So I can get that. Okay. So number three is Star Wars Episode V, Empire Strikes Back.
Which could have been my number one, damn it.
Yeah. You gotta give that one up. And then we got, number four, is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. By Michel Gondry. Great movie.
Fantastic.
Someone actually asked me to do an episode on Jim Carrey. We should do an episode on Jim Carrey. Have you seen him in the news lately? He's been a little wacky.
Yeah.
So what's another one of your top movies?
Well, so this is the problem I ran into the other day. I was, as a result of having said that Mother was in my top five.
Yeah.
I was actually challenged, like, really? So what are your top five? And I'm like, God damn it. So I went through and I said, all right, I'm not going to name which one's one or two, but I'm just going to say the following five. And I tried and I said, okay, American Psycho, Rushmore. Then I was like, okay, I got to be really careful. Of course, Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Of course, Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait, I only have one slot left? And I'm now forgetting every movie that I love.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what do I do? I love Jerry Maguire. But I can't put Jerry Maguire before freaking like The Godfather or like, and then I ran into this existential crisis where I'm like, but that's not even including Primer or White Men Can't Jump. So I realized it was sort of an impossible task. But I knew that I was able to say that Raiders, Empire, American Psycho, and Rushmore bubble up to the very tippy top in some way, even though you might name a movie and I might go, oh, damn it.
Yeah. What about Eternal Sunshine? Do you love that one?
I do love it, but that one is, I'm okay with not put, like, I would put Adaptation in my top, at least top 10, maybe top 5.
Great movie. My number 5, Moonrise Kingdom, and related to Rushmore.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta pick a Wes Anderson movie in your top 10.
And I respect that choice. That's an amazing movie.
Yeah. I mean, I could do Royal Tenenbaums.
Yep.
I could do really any of the Wes Anderson movies. The new one looks amazing. Have you seen the previews for it?
I have seen a little bit of the preview with the animated one. The
stop motion. In Japan.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. But it looks like a Wes Anderson movie.
Yes.
Moonrise Kingdom. I've watched that movie a number of times and it strikes to my core. I don't know what it is. I mean, many of the movies do, Rushmore included.
Yeah.
Bottle Rocket is amazing.
Oh, Bottle Rocket's like completely underappreciated. It's amazing.
Yeah. I remember seeing that before any of the other ones and just being like, this is weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally funny and like interesting. And anyway, number 6, Napoleon Dynamite. I love that movie.
That one's really great. I don't know where I would put it. Maybe top 20 somewhere.
I love Napoleon. Again, most people aren't going to like this movie, but I can watch scenes from this movie all day long. I love Jared Hess's style. I even loved his new movie the Masterminds. Did you see that? With
no, I haven't seen that.
Galifianakis.
No,
people didn't like that movie. I love that movie. I watched it again on the when I was on the plane. I watched it for like a third time.
By the way, the thing for me with some movies like White Men Can't Jump.
Yeah,
that one. I mean, it's hard for me. I can't go into like a film student thing and say like, oh, White Men Can't Jump is one of the greatest films of all time. But for me, I've watched that movie. I can't even count how many times.
Yeah.
I think it's always entertaining.
Yeah, it's like Spam. And let me explain.
Yeah.
If I had never eaten Spam before in my life,
yeah,
and you just gave me some Spam right now, I'd be like, that's disgusting. There are so many other things I could be eating right now besides Spam. But from an early age, Spam with Japanese Americans is it's soul food.
Right.
And so I associate it with all those wonderful, it's a special treat, right, that is brought out at 4th of July and Christmas and pick other, you know, picnics and weddings and stuff. Yeah. Spam musubi. And so when I have, in fact, I'm a terrible cook, but the one thing I can actually cook and I can do it well is a version that I do of spam musubi, which is basically spam sushi. So movies like White Man Can't Jump, you know, objectively, if you were just to watch that for the first time today, you'd be like, yeah, okay.
It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But it came to you at the right time.
Yeah.
And it was a warm blanket when you needed it. It was, you know.
And those two, their chemistry on stage, on camera was amazing. And Rosie Perez is amazing. Like, yeah, it's great. Oh, and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. That one,
yeah,
I would put in my top 10.
Okay. Yeah. When I saw that, it's funny, a lot of the movies you're saying I like, but they're not in my top 100. You know what I mean? Because there's just too many movies. Okay, yeah. Number 7, Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Again, if I watched Quentin Tarantino movies today for the very first time, I'd probably choose Jackie Brown as my number one. But I saw Reservoir Dogs sight unseen, just hearing like, oh, there's this new director, he's in, and I was like, okay, what is it? Is it about dogs? I thought it was. And I remember watching it in 1992 in Wallingford. I was living with other college buddies,
and just blown away.
I was just like, OMG! I mean, at the time, it was so groundbreaking.
Yeah, you know? A style that then inspired
all these others.
Everything.
Yeah. Number 8, The Thing.
Yeah, the original.
Yeah, with Kurt. Is there another one?
Well, they did a remake.
Oh, they
or was it just the video? No, they did a remake of it.
John Carpenter's best movie. Kurt Russell, amazing. We should do a whole episode on Kurt Russell. He has been in so many good movies. But yeah, The Thing, again, 1982. I watched this 100 times when I was in the mid-80s. it's so suspenseful and so interesting. The great thing about this movie, I heard someone talking about this, is that when, have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, when they start figuring out, oh, there's this like infection, there's just like this virus that turns people. And so, and they scientifically figure out a way to determine who is,
right,
who is infected and who isn't. Whereas today, they wouldn't make a movie like that. It'd be like, something more
magical,
sensational, or you know, they, or just more emotional. Like, you look like it, and they're like, you know, look, we're gonna tie everyone down, and we're gonna do this systematically,
right,
and if one of you freaks out, I'm gonna burn you. You know what I mean? And like, they were describing it like it was, you know, a realistic scientific way that actual smart people would have, right, approached it in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I appreciated that.
Number 9, Goodfellas. Martin Scorsese.
Great movie.
Rob De Niro, Ray Liotta, Joe Pesci, Lorraine Bracco.
Oh, right. This reminds me. I also was like, wait a minute. How can I not put Amadeus, which is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Is that how you're supposed to pronounce
music,
it?
Amadeus.
Yeah, yeah.
The Sound of Music.
Yeah, Sound of Music. I thought that was your favorite movie of all time.
Right. Like, how can I not put that in my top 5?
Yeah.
And The Matrix?
Yeah.
I'm not going to put The Matrix?
Yeah. Godfather Part 2, number 10. If I would have watched this movie today, I'm not quite so sure, but so many other movies are based on that movie.
Yeah.
1974, Part 2 came out. But I saw this movie in the 80s and proceeded to watch it 100 times since then. And it's just, it's great. It, there's not a lot of other movies you can say that are like Godfather 1 and 2. Yeah, you know what I mean? Even though there's countless other gangster movies. But none that feel the way that Coppola made these movies feel. They feel real. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I'm in this very uncomfortable and controversial minority that does not like Godfather 2 better than 1. I like 1 better than 2.
But do you like 2?
I do, and 3 is a horrible, so like 3 doesn't count.
I didn't mind 3.
Okay, fine. But
I wouldn't put it near the top 100 movies of all time.
And I feel bad because I like, what's his name, Andy?
Garcia.
Anyways, but 1 for me was just so good. And part of what happened is I never saw Godfather growing up, ever. And I was already an adult, and at work one day we're talking with a buddy of mine, and he's like, this guy named Brian, and he's like, blah, 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 Godfather. I'm like, yeah, you know, I've never seen it. He's like, whoop. He nearly slapped my face. He's like, what? And it happened to be that they were re-releasing it in the theater.
Whoa.
Like then or soon after that. And so I went and I saw it in the theater.
Wow.
And I was so blown away.
Yeah.
So amazing.
Number 11, Watership Down, 1978. It is a cartoon, which I saw and actually read the book as a kid. I probably like this because I saw it when I was 9, and it has such a deep appeal to me. It because it has like honor. I you know what? Actually, now that I think about it, I don't think I've ever realized, or maybe I realized this when I was younger. Have you seen Watership Down?
No.
There's this character. It's about these rabbits.
Okay.
Who live in the real world and. Oh. But they're conscious and they can talk.
And it's animated?
And it's animated, yeah. Oh. And in a 70s animation, British animation kind of thing. And there's different rabbits who have different roles. There's like the wise one and the strong one.
It's like Smurfs.
And yeah. And there's one of them, Bigwig is what they call him. And he's the bigger, and he can fight, and he's sort of the tough guy.
Uh-huh.
And he's the brute. Well, when I was 10 years old, from the time I was like 8 until I was like 17, 16, I was mammoth compared to my people my age. Uh-huh. I'm now 6'1", which isn't mammoth, right? But at the time, I was like, you know, an NBA, you know, basketball player compared to everyone. If you look at pictures, I was always like maybe the tallest or second tallest. And there's a lot of variety in heights at that time. I grew up feeling like a monster. To this day, I walk around kind of hunched over because I feel like I'm too tall. You know, I feel like I'm too big. I'm always trying to watch out, like trying not to hurt people. Because when I was 10, you know, you're a kid. You're
you bonk into everything.
You know, for just give you an example, when we were in the sixth grade, we played this game at recess where it was basically if you were it, the entire field there, we played with like 25 guys. Sometimes girls would play with us too. And if you were it, then you tried to run away from everyone. And if someone tackled you, then they were it.
I see.
And everyone was trying to tackle you. Everyone's trying to be it, essentially.
Oh, okay. It's the opposite.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. It's like, so if you get tackled, and we're in our regular school clothes in like January on the recess mud, and for 15 minutes, and we loved this game. We played it every chance we had. And we would just cream each other. I mean, people would come flying like off of a rock and just take you out, you know? And I remember like people would get their clothes ripped and,
oh my God.
And we had to play sort of around a corner so that the teacher. Recess lady didn't see us play because we were like full violence.
That's a liability.
Yeah. And I was so big that no one could tackle me.
That's crazy.
I would literally have 7 guys hanging on me, and I'd just be walking across the field, just being like, "This is funny," you know what I mean? And so,
wow, which is funny to me because I think I don't know if you remember when I first met you, like if someone had interviewed me, it's like, hey, what did you think about this guy, Kirk? The two things I would have said is like, well, he seems really shy, number one. And he's like kind of small. Like, because maybe of all those years, you like carried yourself small.
That's funny.
But, and then when you told me you had played football, I was shocked. I'm like, you played football?
Yeah. Well, that was another thing. Like, I was a total brute. Like, right. I was, again, early football years, I was by far one of the biggest players. When I played baseball, because I was so tall, the coaches, whenever I got up to the plate, they would tell all the outfielders to take, you know, like 20 steps back.
Oh, wow.
They're like, oh, a big boy, you know, move back, move back. And I'd be like, it was always this big pressure, too, because I would have to, if I didn't hit it out of the park, I was somehow not living up to my height, you know.
Oh.
But anyway, in Watership Down, there's this bigwig character who I totally identified with when I watched it. And he, at the end, he's kind of gruff and he's kind of a secondary character. But in the end, he does this really brave thing. Mm. And it's sort of a war movie in some ways, like the Watership Down. It's it's very dark. It's very adult is the thing. So anyway, Watership Down. If I watched it today, I'm not sure if I would like it. But when I saw it when I was 10... when I see it today, it still touches those, you know, those parts to me. And number 11, number 12, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, which you haven't even mentioned yet. I just have to say,
well, I mean, I love that movie. It's where would it be for me? Yeah. It's top 50 for sure.
What about David Lynch? I mean, where,
oh my, see, this is what I'm saying.
So Mulholland Drive, number 13, for me,
Lost Highway would be my first pick.
Yeah.
But Mulholland is amazing.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just watched Dune.
Yeah.
In the theater recently.
Yeah.
And I still love it, but that movie's a mess.
I remember watching it maybe 5 or 10 years ago and still enjoying it. Actually, well, I was surprised.
I
was surprised.
I enjoyed it. And I think visually, it's one of the greatest things of all time. I just,
and it has that David Lynch, you know,
totally
feel
the weirdness.
It.
Yeah. But granted, I didn't see the best cut. I see the super truncated cut.
Oh,
and it the whole second half felt like a mess.
Yeah,
sadly.
Well, the story is kind of hard to tell.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, number 14, Inside Out. I don't know.
Yeah, Pixar.
I don't know how I'm going to feel. Yeah, crap. What Pixar movie? What, Toy Story?
Well, and Disney movies that I have not even thought about.
Yeah.
Like Fantasia.
I don't know if I'm putting Inside Out so high up just because I recently saw it and loved it, but I just think Inside Out among the Pixar movies. I mean, it's so hard to differentiate between the Pixar movies. You know, you got Up, you have Toy Story. I even like Bug's Life, and aside from Cars, they're all, you know, pretty great. The Good
Cars,
Dinosaur.
Cars
the good
one is good.
The good. The Good Dinosaur actually is amazing. That's okay. One that doesn't get a lot of attention. But
certainly Inside Out was an amazing movie.
Yeah, if I had to choose one. And so part of this list is me going like, well, I can't have, you know, Pixar. I can't have 10 Pixar movies in the top 30. You know what I mean? I got to pick one. And so it was same with Wes Anderson and David Lynch. But anyway, so I picked Inside Out, number 14. Number 15, The Road Warrior, 1981.
Oh, yeah.
This movie stands the test of time. It is still good. It's good action. It's a good story. It's, you know, George Miller, Mel Gibson. It has a definite style.
I'm so glad you put that first and not the new one.
Well,
which I like the new one. I love the new one. But come on.
But the new one just was essentially just tickling all the funny bones that were developed with The Road Warrior.
And Mel Gibson was amazing.
Yeah. Number 16, Waiting for Guffman. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Christopher
Let me see. I would probably go best in show, maybe.
Well, Waiting for Guffman was the one that started it all off.
Yeah.
So to me, and I just consider it to be the best. When I watched that movie so many times in the 90s, it's so funny. Number 17, Annie Hall, Woody Allen.
Great movie.
Again, I was like, which Woody Allen movie do I pick?
Yeah.
Annie Hall is a pretty easy choice to make. Number 18, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Right.
Ang Lee.
That's hard.
Great movie. Number 19, Unforgiven, Clint Eastwood, directed and starred in that, Gene Hackman, Morgan Freeman. Unforgiven is a movie that I consider to be, aside from Appaloosa, the perfect Western.
Yeah.
It has all the Western elements, but it's got grit. It focuses...
True grit.
it has some female elements in there. it's super real.
Yeah.
It gets into the psychology of, so basically, you know, you have those three, you have Clint Eastwood, you have Morgan Freeman, and you have that other kid, Richard Harris, I think is his actor's name, and Gene Hackman, and you have the way that they feel about things, you know, it's so much, I don't know, it's just a wonderful movie.
By the way, what's the Linklater movie recently, The Boyhood?
Yeah.
That one's in my top 10.
Oh, yeah. I thought, yeah, for sure. Number 20, Saving Private Ryan, Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, Matt Damon.
Such a great movie.
It's such a great movie still.
Still.
But in 1998.
It's incredible.
When I saw this movie, I mean, it moved me on so many levels.
And it changed filmmaking.
And video games. Yeah.
Yeah, essentially, it was the first time I remember seeing a war movie where it felt like I was in the middle of the war.
Yeah. I mean, it's still great. It's still a great movie. And it's got a great story, too, and great characters. Yeah, yeah. And number 21, Galaxy Quest. I don't know if I would necessarily keep it here forever, but I love this movie.
It's funny.
I've watched it, I don't know, 30, 40 times. Mm. It's just a great, I don't know. I just really like it. It's funny.
Oh, and by the way, Alien, the original Alien for me, is in the top 20 as well.
Number 22, Once.
Once. That's great. Yeah, that's got to be my top 30, maybe top 20. I feel like I have more movies in my top 20 than there are slots.
Number 23, Adaptation.
Oh, I love this.
Spike Jones, Nicolas Cage, Meryl Streep. Number 24, episode 4, A New Hope. Gotta go with Star Wars. Number 25, Princess Mononoke. You don't have any Hayao Miyazaki.
I would put Spirited Away in my ever expanding top 20.
So 26, Spirited Away. So I got Princess Mononoke and Spirited Away. 25, 26, Hayao Miyazaki. Amazing movies. Number 27, Paul Thomas Anderson, Punch Drunk Love.
Oh, I love that one. Boogie Nights. Where did I put Boogie Nights?
Yeah.
God damn it.
So among Paul Thomas Anderson movies, I think Punch Drunk Love is my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 28, The Terminator.
Terminator.
Still a great movie. Still stands the test of time.
That was great.
For me, very sentimental movie because my VCRs had just come out in the early 80s. And my dad, being Japanese, he I don't know if it's just because he's Japanese, but he likes tech stuff. He was always on the cutting edge of things. I remember our color TV went out. It was like just a normal 70s color TV. And he had to go to the video store to buy a new TV. And he came back home with an entire wall. It was literally, it took up the entire wall, and it was like huge speakers and this full stereo system and the biggest tube TV they had made to date. And two men had to come and deliver it and explain everything. Anyway.
And that's how you saw the...
Well, so he also had, actually, I think before that time when we were watching on the old TV, he had a VCR and when not a lot of people had VCRs, and there was this in Issaquah, Washington, there was this little, VHS store. And I remember going in there and there were probably 30 movies, 30 cassettes that you could rent, and you had to pay money to be a member,
right?
Like per month or something. Yeah. And my dad rented The Terminator, and I'd never heard of it. Because, you know, when you're young, you don't really know what's movies.
What was the internet?
Right, exactly. I'd have to look in the paper, I suppose.
Right.
And so my dad, you know, I was always in my room, like, working on different projects with my Legos, or I'd be drawing, or later it was music. And so I was always, my dad would come and he'd be like, Kirk, you know, spend time with the family. And so he's like, hey, I got this movie from the video store. Let's watch it, you know? And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, I kind of want to, you know, but
dad
I,
movie.
I kind of want to draw whatever the F I was doing. But I was like, okay, I'll watch this movie with my dad. Go upstairs, and it's The Terminator. And,
oh, my God.
And we watched it, and I was just like, oh, my God, this movie's amazing.
What have I seen?
Yeah.
So for me, the story with The Terminator, I wonder how many people have, where was I when Terminator? So I was on vacation in a city called Manizales, visiting my uncle who lived there. I was...
Before we get to the story, let's take a break.
DDD to be done.
right, we're back from the break. If you haven't already become a patron of the podcast, do so. Go to patreon.com, become a patron of the podcast, and you'll get access to all of our deep dives and various other kinds of long episodes. Also, today's episode is brought to you by Talkspace. If you are interested in online counseling, please go to Talkspace and sign up now. They are an official sponsor of Psychology in Seattle. And if you use the promo code Kirk, you get a discount. That's K-I-R-K. Again, as I was saying earlier, if you're just interested or curious or just want to check it out, please do so now. Go to Talkspace.com. Use the promo code Kirk for legitimate online counseling. Berto, you're about to tell a story about the Terminator.
Where was I when Terminator? I was visiting my uncle in the city called Manizales in Colombia, and I was there for a month, and I had a cousin who was a year and a half or 2 years younger than me, and then he had a little sister too, and they had this neighborhood with some other kids that lived there and stuff like that. Well, across the road from where he lived, there was a friend of my cousin's, and he invited us to come over that one evening to watch some movie. And, you know, and I'm probably 10 years old, 11. And so I'm like, okay, we go over and it's the freaking Terminator.
Yeah.
And I, of course, never heard of anything. And so we just start the movie and I'm sitting there and it's, you know, it's a violent movie. And there's even a sex scene where I didn't even know what was actually happening. I'm like, why is he doing push-ups on top of her? I literally thought he was doing push-ups.
Wait, there's a sex scene?
Yeah. Yeah. Where, you know, when they conceive. When Sarah Connor gets pregnant.
They show it?
Well, they show him on top of her, but not like they don't show penetration and stuff, right? But it looked like he was doing push-ups on the ground with her underneath. So I'm like, why is he doing push-ups on top of her? And I was just blown away. I felt like I got away with murder that night.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's rated R, right?
Yeah.
Number 29, Borat. Now, this is a weird choice, but let me explain.
Wah-wah-wah.
It is... I mean, not only is this movie just empirically funny,
yeah,
but many of those scenes are improv with actual human beings, right? I mean, this isn't, you know, they couldn't write a script.
Right.
He had to go to these randos and have these scenes and improv it and stay in character and have like a repertoire that is totally, I mean, because the thing is, if you see Sacha Baron Cohen in other contexts, you're like, oh, he's not Borat. Borat's just a character he plays. But he nails it all the time. And
it's so offensive, so good.
And there's just so many little scenes in this movie that are actually really kind of special. Like when he bumps into these like four or five African-American teenagers on the street and he like interacts with them and they're like making fun of him. And you can tell they're just like, who is this guy? You know, like it's such
that is not black.
Yeah. He's just, I mean, I just feel like you got to put Sacha Baron Cohen in the top 100 at some place.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the genius of that whole thing.
I completely agree. That one would probably be in my top 30. Another one that is comedy. I know this might sound funny, but I just rewatched Dumb and Dumber, the original Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, I
laughed so hard in that movie. Yeah. I know it's stupid. I mean, it's Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah,
but it is so funny.
Yeah,
it's retarded. That's wrong. It is mentally handicapped, but it's so good.
Number 30, Harold and Maude. Have you seen this movie? 1971.
I know what it is, but I have not.
Bud Cort, Ruth Gordon, directed by Hal Ashby. If you like Wes Anderson, you like Harold and Maude. Harold and Maude is the first Wes Anderson movie.
Okay, okay.
When you watch it, you'll be like, oh my God, Wes Anderson has been copying Harold and Maude this entire time. You know, music is a big deal.
Oh my gosh.
The cutesiness is a big deal.
I need to get it.
Dark humor. Harold and Maude, I saw this movie when I was like 11 or something. And my parents were my family was sort of walking around occasionally. And I was just like, what is this movie? And I think I liked it because it's about a young kid, kind of. He's like a teenager.
There are three movies that I always got confused: Harold and Maude, Benny and June, and the one with River Phoenix, where he's mentally handicapped, I think.
I don't know. You know, but Benny and June is
it's a famous River Phoenix movie. Like his first role, he was younger. He's young.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Or maybe it's Leonardo. Maybe it's Leonardo.
Oh, yeah. Leonardo plays Who's Eating Gilbert Grape.
That one. Yeah. I always got those three movies confused, and I've never seen either of them.
Very different. Well, the second two both have Johnny Depp in it, I think.
Yeah.
So I could see that. But Harold and Maude is a completely other phenomenon.
Right.
1971. There's a lot of Cat Stevens in it, which is great. Number 31, you got to go with a Coen movie. The Big Lebowski.
Oh, right. Yeah. And
you haven't mentioned any Coen movies yet.
I would probably put Oh Brother, maybe.
Really? I mean, that was a phenomenon at the time, but I have to say
it's
not as great as I remember.
I don't like Fargo. And
Fargo's great, though.
See, I don't like it. And I do love No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But I don't like the ending. Oh. And maybe that's my flaw. But... So it is hard.
Why don't you like the ending?
Okay, so the movie's going amazing, 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 amazing. And then I felt like the last 10 minutes were super random or something. I got to rewatch it maybe.
Well, so What's-His-Face dies off camera, the main character guy.
Yeah.
And then Javier Bardem goes to his wife's house. And they have a confrontation.
Yeah.
And he walks out of the house. We don't know if he killed her or not, but we think that he did.
Maybe I failed the test and I felt like it was too ambiguous and anticlimactic and they were going for that and I just...
And then the final scene is the old sheriff played by What's-His-Face is talking to his wife, I think.
And it takes a while.
And there's a lot of... philosophies. I think he's talking about his dad. Anyway.
Yeah.
32, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring.
That's a great movie.
I have fallen less in love with these movies as years go by.
Mm-hmm.
But when this came out in 2001...
Mind-blowing.
I watched all three movies, the extended versions on the DVDs, several times, and watched there's various commentaries on the DVD. I think each movie has four DVDs. There's like, you know, because all the content, there's like featurettes and like, I watched all of it. I couldn't get enough of this stuff because I grew up with J.R.R. Tolkien's books.
Yeah.
And read them in, so just another story about my life here. My parents had gone to this, parent seminar for school or something. And they come home and they're like, Kirk, you have to read J.R.R. Tolkien's books. I've never been into reading much, especially when I was a kid. It's just, I've been a slow reader. I think there's something wrong with that part of my brain or something.
I read a lot as a kid. And nowadays I almost only read graphic novels.
If they had graphic novels, well, I probably didn't even want to read that. But anyway, my parents are like, yeah, you really have to read. And I think what I've later asked them about it, and I'm pretty sure what it was they were looking around at all the other parents, and the parents who had smart kids were all reading J.R.R. Tolkien books. And so they really wanted me to read them. And The Hobbit I read. But
I read that too.
But had a hard time because, you know, it's not geared towards 10-year-olds.
No.
It's an adult book, you know. But particularly the trilogy is not for kids.
No.
And I got like halfway through Fellowship of the Ring as a kid and just been like, what am I?
I was trying to read them when the movies were coming out, and I only got through the first two books and bored to tears in various passages when they were singing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Number 33, Princess Bride.
Oh my God! By the way,
it's the 30th anniversary right now. By the way,
okay. So I egregious that I hadn't mentioned that. Also, I was real
Rob Reiner,
so
Carrie Elwes, Robin Wright.
So for me, I was just realizing Fight Club. I need to have in there Vanilla Sky.
Fight Club, I have as 36. I can respect Vanilla Sky,
and of course. It's like, if you're going to have Fight Club, right, that starts the David Finch. So I'm like, seven? How could I not have seven somewhere?
Yeah, you really like seven. Right. Number 34, you got to have another Martin Scorsese, The Last Temptation of Christ.
Which I've never seen.
I don't know why I like this movie so much, but I guess similar to Noah and Mother and other kinds of biblical movies like that. The Last Temptation of Christ is amazing.
This is what's his name?
Scorsese.
The Scorpion. The Green Goblin.
Willem Dafoe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Harvey Keitel. I could see why people will be like, Kirk, why do you like that movie? But I don't know. I just really do. Number 35, Toy Story. Groundbreaking movie.
Unbelievable.
It'll go down in history as something. You know what I mean?
Changed the course of animation.
Yeah, and it's still a good movie. It's still great. Number 36, as I said, Fight Club. When I saw that in the theater, it changed my life in some ways. Because it came out in 1999. I was 28 at the time. And a lot of the things that Edward Norton's character was concerned about, like, you know, getting the good table and like outfitting your house, you know, like there's this late 20s. I think a lot of people start to get into that because you start actually having a career and you can actually start to buy things, but you don't have enough money. And so, you know, you're trying to like adult, as they say.
Right.
And I remember watching this movie and I also have a very, anarchy streak to me and
punk.
a very nihilistic streak to me. Uh-huh. You know? And so when I, this movie very much affected me in that
touched
way.
Touched all those.
Yeah.
By the way, I loved that movie tons, but I have some heartbreaking stories after the fact because first of all, the book was not as good as the movie. And that's a rare case.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah, that's one of the few books I've... Right. Well, I listened to it on tape, I'll be honest.
Do you know he made a sequel that was turned into... Was a graphic novel sequel?
No.
Pulp Fiction 2. There's a Pulp Fiction... Or sorry, not Pulp...
Fight Club 2.
Fight Club 2. And it's a graphic novel. And I'm not saying it's terrible, but it's not great. Mm. And then Wanted, the graphic novel Wanted, which was turned into a movie. The movie's horrible, but the graphic novel was okay. But they really copied a lot of that beginning of Fight Club with the guy hating his job and being like doldrums and stuff like that. So I feel like he had a great, perfect movie, and then a lot of derivative things have come afterwards that have like cheapened it. Mm. But anyways, I love that.
Number 37, another John Carpenter movie, another Kurt Russell, John Carpenter partnership, Big Trouble, Little China.
Amazing.
Just
fun.
A perfect action, funny, kitschy movie. Number 38, The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yep.
Matt Damon, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jude Law.
I loved that movie. Really loved that movie.
Yeah. This movie... It is stylistically really interesting because it's, you know, it's in Europe in the 60s, I believe, 50s. Yeah. So it has all this kind of period European style to it. And this old money kind of Jude Law thing.
Right.
But the psychological experience you go through, because Matt Damon is the main character, and you're supposed to be kind of rooting for him, but at the same time, you're like, what?
It is so good.
Number 39, you're going to hate yourself that you haven't mentioned this, The Rules of Attraction.
Oh, well, right, because that was...
Roger Avery.
That's really good, too.
James Vanderbeek. Isn't that one of your favorite movies?
It is. I mean, it is up there. It's definitely in my top 30, probably. You know, they were supposed to make Glamorama, which is another great book of his.
Yeah.
But years ago, and they've never made it.
Maybe they will. Number 40, Dead Poets Society. Oh, if I saw this movie today, I'm sure I would hate it. I'm sure I would think schlocky.
I saw it not too long ago. It's not bad, but it certainly was great when I saw it.
Robin Williams, Peter Weir directed it. But when I, 1989, I saw this when I was 18 years old.
Oh, perfect timing.
Yeah. This movie deeply affected me.
Right.
The sentiment, the sort of a nihilistic what is the meaning of life?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're a teenager in the 80s, maybe particularly, you feel constrained by society and rules and you don't really know what to do when you're a teenager. You don't know the rules yet.
Right.
And this movie said, you know, rip the books up and carpe diem. That was the first time I'd heard that, you know. I'd never heard carpe diem before.
Right.
And the camaraderie of it, the fraternity of it.
Yeah.
the anti-authority of it.
You're right that it doesn't age as gracefully, but not because of itself. It's almost like the style was an 80s style still.
Yeah.
But it was really good at the time.
Yeah. It's got some amazing scenes when they stand up on that desk.
Yeah. Oh, Captain, my Captain. By the way, there's a movie you didn't mention so far, which would have been in my top 30, but probably top 20 for me, which is Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. Great movie. 41, Godfather, Coppola. 42, Pulp Fiction. I got that. I got that in the top. Now we're 43. You're going to shoot yourself. You haven't mentioned this yet. Memento.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Although, if I'm looking Christopher Nolan-wise, I do love Memento, but Inception moved me in deep and layered ways.
No, I got Inception in here, top 100, too, I'm pretty sure. Number 44, you're going to like me here, Rushmore.
Oh, yeah.
Just an amazing movie. Number 45, Plague Dogs, which you haven't seen.
No,
it's a similar movie to Watership Down, but it's about dogs. Basically, you have two dogs who are being experimented on in a lab, and it's gruesome,
yikes.
And they escape, and the whole story is about them trying to escape, because eventually, like, the lab tries to catch them, and then they accidentally hurt someone, and the police start chasing them, and but it's so sad. My mom saw this cartoon that was in the theaters, and we went to the Egyptian theater in Seattle. Uh-huh. And my mom's like, oh, I saw this cartoon that I thought I'd bring you and your little brother to, you know, I think my dad was out of town or something. She's like, oh, we'll go to a movie. And my mom has a history of picking movies that are inappropriate for the age group. And this is one of them. And so we went to see it, and I would have been 11 at the time.
It's about dogs.
My little brother was 5.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He was traumatized by it, I think. It was right on the cusp when I was just getting old enough to see this kind of stuff. And it's still a great movie. Number 46, Dark City.
Oh, I love Dark City.
Yeah. This is before The Matrix, by the way. So it's like The Matrix before The Matrix.
Yeah.
And what, I've watched it recently, and
does it survive?
It survives, but not as it's not. I don't watch it and go like, oh my God, you know. But at the time, 1998, it was mind blowing. Number 47, you're gonna actually hate that you haven't mentioned this yet. City of God.
Oh yeah, that is a great. Oh my God, that moved me so hard.
Yeah, I might even put that higher than 47. That movie, there's so many things happening. There's so many characters and interesting scenes and. And it gives you this glimpse into the, you know, the ghetto of Rio, right?
Well, and there was a while when if you had asked me, I would have automatically named that movie. So you're right that I'm kicking myself.
Yeah. Number 48, Rob Reiner again. This is Spinal Tap, 1984.
It's good.
You got to put – it's similar to Holy Grail. It's just like one of the comedy – genius movies.
So by the way, I this is very controversial because I so enjoyed The Holy Grail. But for me personally, Life of Brian is my favorite Monty Python.
I could see that. I there are some scenes in Life of Brian that are just so funny.
Yeah. Maybe for me it's also that they're making so many statements about, you know,
religion.
Like, yeah.
Well, my story about Holy Grail is similar to my story about Terminator, which is my brother was watching a movie with his friends in the living room on the VHS, and they're all, you know, sitting around the TV.
Yeah.
And I walk through, and my brother's 7 years older than me, so and I'm like, what are they watching? And I sit down and I'm watching this movie and I'm like, I don't really get it.
Hell?
And then I ask my brother, what is he? He's like, this is, you know, it's Monty Python. And I'm like, who's Monty Python? And he's like, it's not a person, you know? And I'm like, I don't get it. And he's like, just watch the movie, you know? And so I'm like, okay, fine. And I'm watching and I'm like, why do they have coconuts for you know? I'm like, I don't get this. And then, because it's so what we call dry English humor, right? Like it's not the broad humor that you're used to, particularly when you're a kid.
Yeah.
And about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes into it, suddenly it clicked in my brain. And I was rolling.
So I had I wonder again, where were you when Monty Python? Because that movie came out, what, in the 70s?
Yeah.
Okay. I never, ever in my life heard of it as a kid in Colombia, ever.
Yeah.
I moved up here, 1990. And it, every weekend I'd go over to my friend Paul's and we'd watch some movie at his house, right? This time he's like, okay, today we're going to watch Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Same as you. I'm like, I don't get what you just, you said words.
Yeah.
I don't know what you just said. And I remember, what's a Monty Python? It's
yeah,
like, same conversation. And I don't know if he had already seen it or not, but either way, we sit down and I don't want to see this. I'm like, whatever. And yeah, I was like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
I remember laughing so hard at that movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Number 49, Appaloosa. Ed Harris wrote, or he directed, I think he might have written it too, stars in it. Viggo Mortensen, Renee Zellweger, Jeremy Irons. I consider, as with Unforgiven, I consider Appaloosa to be a perfect Western. I highly recommend it. People did not see this movie enough. It's so good.
By the way, I have a movie, an anime in my top, definitely top 40.
Akira?
Maybe top 30.
Akira?
Akira is definitely in my top 50. Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
But Ninja Scroll.
Never heard of it.
It's badass.
Number 50, Get Shorty, 1995. Gene Hackman, John Travolta.
Great movie.
I watched this movie in the late 90s. I think I might have had it copied on a VHS or something. I watched this movie 100 times. It's so funny. Number 51, a movie I keep telling you to see called Pride and Glory,
right,
with Edward Norton, Colin Farrell, written by Gavin O'Connor. It's a gangsterish movie, cop movie. It's great. Pride and Glory. 2008.
Do you understand? I've never seen Platoon.
You know, you could probably go through life without seeing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't that one of the top? Actually, you haven't.
I mean, at the time, Platoon was amazing, right? You know, it's Oliver Stone at the height of his powers. I recently seen some scenes, and my guess is if you watched it today, you'd be like, I could see why this was a big deal in the 80s, but, you know. But at the time, you know, it was very controversial because it was making Americans look terrible.
Yeah,
and that was not, that was something we didn't do yet. You
right.
know? Number 52, another movie you haven't seen, I keep telling you to see, The Place Beyond the Pines.
Yep.
Ryan Gosling, Bradley Cooper. Wonderful, wonderful movie. Very interesting, very compelling. It's an action movie too. You know, both Pride and Glory, Place Beyond the Pines, both action movies. Like, they're not ponderous navel gazers. These are,
I'm going to have to watch these movies. By the way, I forgot a top 10 movie of mine. The Omen, the original Omen.
Oh, God.
So good.
Yeah. 53, Star Trek II, Wrath of Khan. Got to have a Star Trek movie in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And Wrath of Khan, awesome movie.
Do you know I've never seen it?
You should see it. Number 54, Laws of Gravity, 1992. I'm sure you've never heard of it before.
No, I have.
Oh, what?
I actually watched that.
You did?
Yes.
Did I tell you to watch it?
No. This was probably an accident. I watched it on Showtime at some point in my, like years, but I was in, like, a long time ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Have we talked about this?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I've never met another person who's seen this movie.
Yeah.
It has Eddie Falco in it.
Yeah.
Or Edie Falco.
This was
Peter Green.
What year did you say?
1992.
Yeah. So I watched it on Showtime in college, like in 95.
And you remember the title and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Laws of Gravity. It's basically about these poor guys.
Kind of hoodlums.
Hoodlums in like the Bronx.
It was
or something.
Great.
Yeah, and they're always trying to scam something.
But you've saved my life, because what happens is I watched it once. I loved it. And the rest of my life, I've been trying to remember the name of it. And
really?
I always thought it was Falling Down, but I knew that wasn't. Oh, which, by the way, is a great movie that I love.
Huh.
But I was, is it like Pulled Down? No, it's something you felt. And I now finally remember Laws of Gravity.
I'm so happy that you even know this movie, let alone that you like it, because that's one of those movies in the 90s that I watched 100 times.
It's got that guy that's got the dark eyebrows and the blonde hair.
Yeah,
what's his name?
Peter Green.
Yes.
He was in Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
Great movie. The first time I saw Edie Falco. So.
I never connected that she was in that.
Yeah. She's like, the girlfriend. She's the lead guy's girlfriend.
Yeah, like Sopranos' favorite series of all time, and I never connected that.
I've recently rewatched it. It's amazing. It's a lot of improv scenes. You can tell that there's a lot of improv, and the characters just feel so real to me.
Well, what shocked me is, you know, I was still young, and it felt threatening. Like there was a lot of threat in that movie.
Well, Peter Green's friend is this sort of psychopathy kind of guy. Yeah. Number 55, George Clooney, The American,
which I have not seen.
The style of this movie is sort of like artsy James Bond movie, and I love it, and the ending is great. Number 56, The Box Trolls.
Speaking of which, sorry, Casino Royale would be in my top 40.
Really?
Casino Royale, yeah.
Yuck.
What? You didn't like Casino Royale?
I mean,
that was the best Bond of all time.
No, Octopussy is a great
Bond. It's a great movie, but and my favorite Bond is still Sean Connery.
You got Goldfinger.
But Casino Royale is a modern...
You know, there's something about the new ones that just did not click with me for some reason.
I don't like most of the new
ones. And I've been thinking, and I was such a Bond fan growing up that I feel like maybe I wasn't giving it enough, like a good enough chance because, like,
Look, I don't like, okay, Quantum of Solace, a lot of people didn't like. I actually kind of liked it, but I don't like Skyfall. People loved Skyfall.
What was the recent one?
And I did not. I liked the beginning of that one, and I really disliked the rest of it.
Yeah.
Remember that, like, the whole last part felt like, oh, this must be a dream sequence.
You're
like, it's not a dream sequence?
Yeah, yeah.
This is actually happening?
Yeah. I feel like the recent James Bond movies fell in love with itself and tried to, like, make it feel important, like a Christopher Nolan movie.
Okay, that's fair. But
that's why movies like The Kingsman and other kinds of movies like that are just, they're like reviving the old Bond. Like, 'cause Bond was a fun movie. They were fun. They had action. Right. They had girls. They had guns. They had gadgets. And they had, you know, the plot wasn't super complicated, you know?
I will grant you all that. I still feel that Casino Royale, although a little more serious, a little more gritty or whatever, still had the girls, the fun, the casino, and it wasn't a complicated plot.
The Royale. number 56, Box Trolls. This is made by
that's a good one.
Those people that make the stop motion. I loved the Box Trolls. Not only is it funny and interesting, but it also has, like, this really heartfelt story that I really enjoyed. Number 57, The Matrix. Got to put that in there somewhere. Yep. Number 58, Royal Tannenbaum's. Got to put that in somewhere. Number 59, The Abyss, James Cameron
movie.
That's a great movie. If I watched it today, my guess is I wouldn't put it super high up. But again, came out in 1989.
Oh, Jaws!
You'd put that in your top...
Top 50 for probably top 30. My ever-growing top 20 is too full now.
I can respect Jaws. It's not in my... related to that, number 60, I got Eagle versus Shark. This is by Taika Waititi.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it has Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords. Are you a Flight of the Conchords fan? You're not.
I love it.
No, you don't.
I think it's so funny.
No, you don't.
It's hilarious.
I think Flight of the Conchords... When I am late at night just sort of wanting to waste time on the internet, I watch clips of that show.
I feel terrible because, like, everyone that I, like, respect thinks that movie, that show is so funny.
It's weird because you like Wes Anderson. It's very Wes Anderson.
It is. I've tried watching it. And look, I'm not saying it's bad. It's just I've tried watching it and I'm not. Another example is, do you watch American Dad?
I've watched
some
clips.
There are people that I really respect that think that is a super funny show. I can't seem to get it.
Yeah, no.
You know
what's actually great that just came out was The Tick. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
There's only like 6 or 7 episodes. It's pretty. Okay. It's pretty good. And each episode is only like 25 minutes or something. So
I like the old one too. The one with Putty.
I never watched that one, but I remember watching the cartoon. Anyway, number 60, Eagle versus Shark. Taika, what have you seen? The Darkness Shadows or whatever, that movie that they made about vampires.
What we do
in the shadows.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. So this Eagle versus Shark is the same crew.
Oh, speaking of which, Moana is in my top 50, and Moana.
Oh yeah.
I love that movie so much. If my favorite music scene is his.
Yeah.
So I actually really do like his style. It's just for some reason, Flight of the Conchords never fully did it for me.
You might shoot yourself in the foot for not mentioning this. Number 61, Amelie.
Amelie! That's top 20 for me. That is in my top 20. That movie was like Zelda.
Yeah, 2001. Totally holds up today. It's amazing.
Right. That was like playing a Zelda game because, you know, she has to go, the neighbor needs something, but to get that, she first has to go solve the other quest, and then to solve that, she has to solve the other quest.
All right. Well, let's take a break, and when we get back, we'll just race through the last of the list. What do you say, Bruno?
Let's do it.
All right. We're back from the break. If you haven't already, become a patron of the podcast. Do so now. Also, to remind everyone that today's episode is brought to you by Talkspace, an online counseling legitimate outfit that connects people with online counselors. And if you're just curious about online counseling, go to Talkspace. Use the promo code Kirk, though, to get a discount and also to signal to them that you're one of our listeners. Again, Talkspace.
Talkspace.
You can talk to your therapist every day. A little bit more money, you can talk to them multiple times a day. It's a wonderful way to get counseling in a very low annoyance sort of way. You know what I mean? People are always asking me, like, how do I get a therapist? And what if I go and I spend some time? You know, with Talkspace, you can try someone out for a week pretty easily. Even today, you can just sign up, you know, hook up with someone. And, you know, maybe you don't like them and just switch to someone else. So Talkspace, use promo code Kirk. All right. Let's race through. Number 62, Killing Them Softly. This is a Brad Pitt movie.
Never saw that.
It's another gangster kind of movie, violent, but very realistic feeling. The characters are very interesting. There's lots of these, there's lots of very awesome scenes where two people are talking, if that makes any sense. Killing Them Softly, you got to see it.
By the way, Revenant is in the top like 20 for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put that, but I love that movie. I think I gave it a 9.
I had such a visceral experience in that movie.
Yeah. That's the thing about, I've seen so many movies that I can say something like, you know, The Revenant and say like, oh my God, that was amazing. Yeah. I think I put it as like my top movie of 2015 or whenever it came out. And it still won't make my top 100 because there's so many others. Number 63, you're going to like me here, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Amazing. Number 64, In Bruges. Have you seen this movie?
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. No.
Colin Farrell.
You told me about it, and I never wanted to see it because the whole name and the preview turned me off. But
it's about two gangsters that are, I think, are from Ireland or England. I think from Ireland. And they go to Bruges, which is in Holland, I think. And it's just,
the thing is, you've sold me so much on it before that I feel like I've seen it. That's why I got excited about it.
It's funny.
Yeah.
Colin Farrell plays this kind of, comedic, gangster guy. Anyway, it's pretty. Number 65, another, Across the Pond movie, Submarine. Great movie. It's sort of a Wes Anderson knockoff Submarine.
Groundhog Day. I have to put Groundhog Day somewhere.
Okay.
Top 60, maybe?
Number 66, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Robert Downey Jr. at his best. Val Kilmer. It's directed by Shane Black. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Another, it's sort of like Get Shorty. It's a comedic gangster cop movie. It's really great. The thing is these movies I'm recommending to you are not artsy-fartsy movies. These are like fun movies, like, you know, White Man Can't Jump kind of movies that you just haven't seen. Okay.
The Graduate, for me, is top 20.
Great movie. Number 67, Swingers. Now,
if
I watched that movie today, I'd probably be like, okay. In 1996, when this movie came out, it was like, I don't know. It's a total bro movie.
Yeah, it is.
For one. But when I was 25, I think I was looking for a bro movie or something. But this movie was so, I don't know what to say, man. It would just, it spoke to the bro in me. Because I was 25, I was a bro. I hung out with other bros and, you know, we'd go out at night. And this movie just had all, and it, you know, this movie also has a sensitive side to it. And it basically makes, you know, Vince Vaughn look like a dick in the end.
I rewatched it recently, and for me, it does have a flaw that the first half is definitely stronger than the second half.
Yeah.
Even though there are some select scenes in the second half that
it's
are very
indie.
Good.
It's very indie.
And it's very indie. That's true. Yeah.
68, you met, not have even seen this movie, Hot Rod with Andy Samberg.
I haven't seen it, no. I know what it is, but...
It's, you know, it's kind of like Napoleon Dynamite in that vein,
sure.
You know, it's, but Andy Samberg is just, it's a great movie. 69, Terry Gilliam again, Time Bandits. This movie came out 81 when I was 10 years old. I watched this movie 1,000 times. It was the perfect movie for me when I was 10 years old. It has a young kid in it.
Yeah.
Time travel.
I know what it is and I've never seen it.
Number 70, Bottle Rocket. I'm actually glad I have that in there. Number 71, you got to put it in here, Robert Zemeckis, other great movie, Forrest Gump.
Yeah, Forrest Gump is top 50 for me for sure.
It's, I mean, I think if I watched it today, I was blown away. But 1994, this movie came out.
This movie changed my life, man.
94. It's an epic, wonderful, tearjerker, you know, just... A wonderful story.
Great, great, great.
Yeah. Number 72, you might punch yourself for this one. There Will Be Blood.
Yeah, great freaking flick.
Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yes.
I recently rewatched this.
It's so strong.
It's so strong.
Yeah. No, and you know, I've only seen it once in the theater. Maybe that's why it's not present in my mind, but it's so good.
Number 73, another Terry Gilliam, 12 Monkeys.
Yeah, that's great.
Again, if I saw it today, I'd be like, yeah, I've seen this. But at the time, 1995, this was mind-blowing.
Yeah.
And just a wonderful movie. Number 74, Inception. I got that, Christopher. Yep. That movie is amazing. Number 75, Zack Snyder, Watchmen. I love Watchmen.
Yeah, I like Watchmen a lot.
I don't know why I love Watchmen so much, but the take on the hero thing.
Right.
Is this the first hero movie I've even mentioned?
It might be, because what's weird is a lot of people didn't actually end up enjoying it, even fans of the book.
Yeah.
It did well at the time, but it quickly aged.
Yeah.
Like people are like, I didn't like that, or it was too much, too long. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a very reasonable adaptation of such a complex material.
I didn't even know the material, but the way it felt, you know, you got these aging heroes and you have this one guy who's a god.
Yeah.
And the way that they had it, I don't know.
Dr. Manhattan.
Number 76, I know you love this movie, Prisoners.
Oh, yeah.
Denis Villeneuve.
Remember, you pushed me to see that forever, and I finally saw it. I was so blown away.
Number 77, you might shoot yourself for not mentioning this, The Incredibles.
Yeah, that's another fantastic, fantastic Pixar.
78, I don't know what your take is on this movie. 1997, Curtis Hanson. With directed Kevin Spacey, Russell Crowe, Guy Pearce, Kim Basinger, L.A. Confidential.
I liked it. I liked it. It's not like a top 50 for me. I think you probably put it in the right area.
Yeah, 78. I've recently rewatched this. It is amazing.
It is really
every
good.
Scene is just so good. Number 79, my first Akira Kurosawa movie, Seven Samurai.
Yeah.
Now, I have to clarify this by saying all the Kurosawa movies that I've seen, these are movies from the 40s and 50s. When I watch them, just, you know, blank, just sort of watch them casually, I'm like, you know, it's an old movie. But then I would listen to the Criterion commentary, and then I would watch the movie again, and like everything starts to come together. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's like Kurosawa can only be appreciated if you understand the context, you know, where film was at the time, and how he was so meticulous about the way he would shoot things, you know.
Rashomon is something I really enjoyed. I don't know where I put it, but it's in my top 100 for sure. Oh, and in my top 10, do you know which one I didn't say?
What? Yeah. You have, yeah.
I know.
What you need is like tied for first, you have 5 movies.
Yeah.
Tied for fifth, you have maybe 10 movies.
Oh my gosh, you're right. That's exactly right.
Anyway, what are you going to say?
I forgot. I'll remember.
Oh no. Did I really?
Yeah, I forgot.
Oh fuck. Sorry.
It's okay. We'll come back.
Number 80, we got Stranger Than Fiction. Did you like this
one? Oh, I did. I really did.
it's a, you know, weird Will Ferrell movie, but this movie is not only funny, but it's very, it's like I Heart Huckabees to me, you know, it like, touches a certain existential question, you know.
Right.
Number 81, another Coen movie, Burn After Reading.
Oh, yeah.
With Brad Pitt, Francis McDormand, George Clooney.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Really?
Kramer versus Kramer.
You know, I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
It moved me so much. Probably similar relation, because I could relate to it, you know, having my parents had been divorced when I was so little. It really moved me.
And Birdo versus Birdo?
Yeah. The performances were so strong.
But Burn After Reading, you know, there's so many great Coen movies, but Burn After Reading, I just find to be one of the perfect ones because it's funny, it's interesting, it's got, you know, it's sort of like Fargo. And I think it's underappreciated.
A Few Good Men is in my top 20.
Oh, interesting. Number 82, The Yards, another movie I keep telling you to see. Another sort of gangster cop movie. Mark Wahlberg in it. Joaquin Phoenix, Charlize Theron, James Caan, directed by James Gray. Number 83, this is sort of a weird one because it's not maybe a movie, but I consider it a movie. Eddie Murphy, Delirious.
Yeah, that's fun.
1983. It's a movie.
Sure.
It was played like a movie, you know. Yeah. It was on HBO.
That's okay.
I watched it at my cousin Brian's house because he had cable and HBO.
Nice.
And I remember him and me and his older brother, my other cousin Lance, we watched this just over and over and over again. Today, I'm guessing if I watched it, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, that's so funny. But to my 12-year-old mind,
right,
Delirious was the funniest thing. I hadn't seen much stand-up at that point. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh, we mentioned it, but didn't slot it. In my top 30 is Glengarry Glen Ross.
Maybe I should put number 84. For some reason, I have Eagle versus Shark again. My list is a little funny. Number 85, I put Selma.
Which I haven't seen.
I don't know if I'm just swept up in having seen that a few years ago, but I loved this movie. I thought it was moving. I thought it really. I never really knew. The civil rights movement. You know, I'd seen pictures, I'd read about it, and I'd seen footage, but I think Selma puts you there. You know, you really get a feeling for why Martin Luther King was such an important figure, you know? And yeah, so number 86, Me and You and Everyone We Know, directed by Miranda July and starring Miranda July. It is a very strange movie. It's sort of a Wes Anderson-y movie, but it's a great movie. Number 87, recently we watched this again. Definitely deserves to be a top 100 movies of all time, Deadpool.
Deadpool is great, and that's your second superhero movie.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds. I saw this in a theater and was rolling on the ground the entire time, and then I recently rewatched it and was again rolling on the ground the entire time.
So for me, Guardians of the Galaxy is in my top 30.
You know, gosh, you know, I love that movie too, but I just don't consider it. I'd give that. I think I gave it a 9. You know,
I saw it three times in the theater.
Yeah,
and every time I was like, "Oh my God, this is amazing!"
I know, so good. The music, the humor. Deadpool, though, not only is it funny, but it's heartwarming. I mean, the love story is so effective in that movie.
That movie is really good. Yeah.
Number 88. I know you know this movie, Irreversible.
Oh my God, that is top 50, at least for me.
Monica Bellucci, Vincent Cassel.
I gotta go higher.
French movie.
That's another one, like The Revenant, one of those movies.
Yeah.
That was so physical to watch.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was so affecting.
Yeah. Irreversible, as I've said before, is the best worst movie of all time.
Yeah.
It's so good, but it's so hard to watch. It's there's a rape scene, and it's.
Yeah.
It's it's also made in this very unique way, kind of like Memento.
Speaking of which, you haven't slotted Schindler's List.
No, I would have earlier in my life, but definitely a 9.
Yeah,
I'm guessing. Number 89, Life During Wartime, and I am trying to remember this movie.
Oh, man.
Shirley Henderson, who is that? Ali Sheedy. Anyway, number 90, Tape, a Richard Linklater movie that has three people in a hotel room. The entire movie, three people in a hotel room. Ethan Hawke, Robert Sean Leonard, who was also in Dead Poets Society, and Uma Thurman.
Reality Bites is in my top something.
Number 91, Trees Lounge. This movie has directed and stars Steve Buscemi. I watched this movie. If I watched it today again, I'd be like, eh. But I watched this movie so many times when it came out. It's just a great movie. Got to have a John Woo movie in it, in the top 100. Number 92, A Better Tomorrow. Mm. Came out in 1986. Has Chow Yun-fat. I watched this movie, A Better Tomorrow, 100 times in the late 90s. There, when I discovered John Woo, I was like, I just wanted to watch all of his movies, you know? and it also, I should say, when I was watching them, it touched a certain... I started watching Akira Kurosawa at the same time and Miyazaki. There was this... I had suddenly discovered Asian film, essentially, uh-huh. you know? Being a fourth-generation Japanese-American, I'm not exactly in the midst of Japanese culture, you know?
Yeah.
And so when I discovered... Netflix, when it first came out, you know, the DVD thing that I still do, by the way, because most of the good movies aren't on streaming. But I could suddenly like watch all these random movies and like kind of, you know, put them in a queue and all this stuff. And I discovered John Woo. I discovered Hayao Miyazaki and I discovered Kurosawa. And suddenly I was like, I felt connected to my Japanese roots, my Asian roots, okay. and John Woo had something to do with that.
So it was Chow Yun-fat in a lot of John Woo
yeah.
movies?
Okay. Yeah. Number 93, this is a funny one, directed by Harold Ramis, the great Harold Ramis, starring Michael Keaton and Andy McDowell in 1996's Multiplicity.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. I have it in my top 100. I recently rewatched this, and I consider it to be hilarious. But again, if I watched it for the first time today, I'd be like, yeah, it's a cute movie. But I consider Michael Keaton to be one of the funniest people on the planet. And Multiplicity, I watched. It was one of those VHSs sure. that I watched a bunch of.
By the way, you haven't mentioned the one with recently. Oh, man,
Emily Blunt, Sicario.
No. Oh, Sicario was amazing. No, I keep going. Oh, Emily Blunt was in
Edge of Tomorrow.
That was good too, but that's not what I'm thinking. Okay, keep going.
Number 94, I got a weird one here, Youth in Revolt. It stars Michael Cera. You should see this movie. It's kind of a Wes Anderson-y kind of okay. movie. It's a interesting, wonderful movie.
Oh, I know what I'm saying. Episode 7. You haven't mentioned Episode 7.
Yeah, it's not in my okay. top. It's not in my top 100.
Okay, because we felt so strongly at the time.
Felt very strongly. I watched it a couple more times uh-huh. and was like, I mean, you know, you and I, okay, here's the thing. When you and I, and we'll do it again this December.
We'll do it again.
We buy our tickets like a couple months in advance. We have like, I don't know, a bottle of wine.
Yes.
And we sit at holding hands while we yeah. freak out at Han Solo, you know, da-da-da. And then we walk out of the theater and we hug and we're like, oh my God, that was the best experience ever. And that adds to the whole, you know.
Right. And it happened with Rogue One.
Yeah. Well, so Rogue One, I've rewatched a few more times. Uh-huh. It holds up, I think, more than
Better
episode
than seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rogue One is, I might even put that like, I actually would put Rogue One more higher than episode seven.
It's hard for me because
they're different movies though. So it's kind of hard to.
And Rogue One. Well, the first time I saw it, maybe because it was so surprising in parts, it really was so amazing. Second time through, it did lose some of its...
Watch it another time.
Okay.
Because it moves pretty quick, mm-hmm. and especially the last half, it's a war movie. It's right. like Saving Private Ryan, you know? It's so great. And the right. you know, you got the X-Wings and...
Taxi Driver. You haven't mentioned Taxi Driver.
It's not... I probably have that at an 8,
oh,
actually.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not in love with that movie.
I really like that movie.
I mean, I like it, but it's not, yeah. Number 95, indie movie from Spain? Not sure what country. Called Time Crimes. Comes out 2007. Very interesting movie. If you liked Primer...
Yeah, I love Primer.
Time Crimes is in that kind of genre.
So I think I mentioned... Primer was in contention for one of the top five slots for me.
Yeah.
Which is highly unfair to so many movies because quality-wise, you could poke so so many holes at that movie.
Yeah, but I could see why you would like it.
Yeah.
You know, it also, I don't think I've ever said this to you because I just realized it right now, is, you know, you, well, I won't even go into that.
Come on!
Well, it has to do with revealing parts of your life that I don't think
you want.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Basically, what I was going to say is you're a closet. You actually time travel, so you kind of...
Yes, exactly. Don't give that away.
Number 96 is a weird fit, a weird pick. 1993, directed by Eric Schaefer and Donnell Ward, a movie called My Life's in Turnaround.
Oh.
I saw this movie. I had a tape of this movie in the mid 90s, and I watched this. It's a comedy movie about these two guys who are trying to make it in the film business, and they they live in New York, I think, and they're trying to meet women and da da da.
Okay.
And there's this, I think Eric Schaefer, his character is just kind of funny. it's sort of like early Friends, if that makes any sense.
Okay, sure.
But I cannot find this movie on DVD or streaming. My Life's in Turn. You know, you think a movie that was made in the 90s that, you know, was released, that you'd be able to find it. And every once in a while, I try to find it, can't find it. It doesn't exist. Oh. It's weird. Number 97, Sicario.
So good.
Another Denis Villeneuve movie.
Yeah.
Number 98, You're Gonna Shoot Yourself.
No.
You're definitely gonna shoot yourself.
No.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, that for me is top 50 maybe?
Yeah.
Like, that was so great. And the music, the soundtrack is so strong.
Yeah, again, if I watched it today, I don't know, but 1996, when this movie came out, all the music and the fast cuts and it's just great.
Oh, actually, I gotta say, I would have put one of the Harry Potters in there in my top 100 for sure.
Yeah.
You don't like any of the movies?
I mean... They're okay.
Okay, and I would have put Shakespeare.
The earlier ones are better than the later ones.
Yeah, what I'm saying, I would have put Harry Potter 3, the third movie, in my top 100.
Yeah.
And I would have put Shakespeare in Love in my top 100.
You know, I need to rewatch that. I remember liking that movie.
It's, you know, it's a top 100, so like 98.
99, I got Akira, they're going to remake that, which I'm excited about. And number 100, I have Delicatessen, which I was in love with this director. A French movie maker. He also made another movie called something about city. The City of Lost Children.
Oh, that's supposed to be a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of them are. But Delicatessen is the first one that came out. And it's sort of like Amelie. It's sort of the precursor to Amelie. And
I
remember, again, 1991, seeing this movie and just being like, oh my God, what is this stuff? Great movie.
I would have had a few things in my top 100. Apocalypto.
Really?
Yeah, I would have put that.
Mel Gibson.
In there. Yeah.
Yeah, I needed to rewatch that because I remember liking it in the theater, but
it's such an amazing visual.
I need to
ride.
Rewatch that.
I would have put It's a Wonderful Life in my top 100 somewhere.
Okay.
And I would have put there's this Cary Grant movie with Audrey Hepburn, where he got lost at sea, and it also has Jimmy Stewart in it. What is that one? They remade it.
Well, there's got Notorious.
No. It was, I can't remember the name, but it's so good. It's so funny. Catherine Hepburn, Jimmy Stewart, and Cary Grant.
I'll just name all the movies.
Oh, God.
Walk, Don't Run, Father Goose, Charade, That Touch of Mink, The Grass is Greener, Operation Petticoat.
No.
North by Northwest, great movie.
Which is great.
Houseboat, Indiscreet.
No.
Kiss Them for Me, An Affair to Remember.
No.
The Pride and the Passion.
No.
To Catch a Thief, Dreamwife, Monkey Business, Room for One More, People Will Talk, Crisis, I Was a Male, War Bride.
What the hell?
Every Girl Should Be Married, Mr. Blanding's Building.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia.
The Philadelphia Story. Let me look that up. Isn't that what it's called? That's what it's called.
The Philadelphia Story.
The Philadelphia Story.
Yeah, I was almost there.
Okay.
Okay. Well, So now I could easily, when I made this list, I spent a lot of time like swapping in and out and like going, because it's so hard, you know? And now, inevitably, I'm going to get emails from people saying, like, I can't believe you didn't put this in there.
Sure,
I can't believe you put that in there.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say, like, unless you're being in jest the way me and Berto go back and forth and yell at each other about certain things, just understand that if you polled everyone on the planet and said, what's your top 100 movies, I would guess that you would not find a single duplicate list.
No.
Everyone has, you know, different emotional experiences when I saw what was that Denis Villeneuve movie that was out
Arrival? Which I should have put in my top 100.
Amy Adams, maybe it wasn't Denis. Amy Adams was in what movie last year? Not Arrival, Nocturnal Animals. That wasn't Denis. That was Tom Ford. Nocturnal Animals.
Nightcrawler? Was that the one with...
what's his face? Jake Gyllenhaal?
Jake Gyllenhaal? Yeah. I love that movie.
Nocturnal Animals. When I saw that movie in the theater last year, I thought it was amazing. Mm-hmm. I recently rewatched it and was like, yeah, you know?
Okay.
So, you know, the context means a lot, right?
Yeah, totally.
Like, White Man Can't Jump, when you were in your 20s, you had that on VHS.
Yes.
It was your go-to. You'd come home after a long day or whatever, and you'd pop that thing in. And
always
and,
make me happy.
Yeah, and you just the banter and the camaraderie. And
yeah, I have others like that, like Alpha Dog.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that?
No.
It has Justin Timberlake in it, and it has the kid who was in The Girl Next Door and also in that movie where
he Emil Hirsch.
Emil Hirsch, yeah.
Interesting. Bruce Willis. So, you know, you can't and that kid who died. What's his name?
Yeah, yeah. The Scotty.
God, what is his name? Vincent. Wait, what? Anyway.
He had a Russian name.
Did he have a Russian name?
Yeah.
Vincent, no, Cartha, no. Which kid is it? Anyway. So, you know, please do not yell at me. I recently put my, when I ranked every Beatles song and I put it on the Beatles Reddit page.
Did I say Scotty? He wasn't Scotty.
He was
a Russian.
He was Chekhov.
Chekhov.
Yeah.
God damn it. people are, you know, they were riding the flame thing and they're like, oh.
But I am extremely interested in your top 10 listeners out there, particularly you patrons, since I love
so
you guys.
You're hoping they mail you but not flame you.
Yeah, just let me know. What are your top movies? And explain why. You know, why was that movie in your top 10 or top 100 or whatever? All right. This episode brought to you by Talkspace. Go to Talkspace.com. Get your online counseling on if you want. And use the promo code Kirk. Got to use the promo code Kirk. Also, if you haven't become a patron of the podcast yet, do so. We recently crossed the line of our goal on Patreon, and now we're going to start donating to PetFinder.com.
Woohoo!
So
ruff, ruff.
We have to define our next goal and our next thing that we'll do at that level. Maybe at the next level we can have a party, like an actual in-person
awesome.
Party, yeah. Or maybe like we can just have an in-person party anyway.
A patron party?
Yeah, a patron party in Seattle. Let us know what you think about that.
Oh, that would be so amazing.
All right. That does it for that long episode in which we talked not about psychology, but just about movies. Thanks for joining us out there. Please take care of yourself because
you deserve it.